possible. You mentioned that you had some questions. At least Manu also mentioned that it was about chanting. Are there questions that could be discussed here? If they're not appropriate, they don't have to. In the effect of increased chanting inattentively.
What is the effect of increased chanting on attention?
On becoming more attentive. Well, the recommendation is aparadam hijuktanam, that even if someone is chanting offensively, then they should continue, and by chanting more, the qualification will come, or one will become gradually more purified at heart, and attention comes from purification of the heart. But then Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bahujan Makoti, that it can take a long, long time. It can take millions of lifetimes, offensive chanting. And the essence of all offenses, or the summary of all offenses, is this pramada, inattention. The word also means madness in Sanskrit. And I think everyone has experience with being able to focus the mind. The mind becomes distracted by so many things. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they also did discuss all of the causes of inattention, attachment to material things, talking or gossiping while chanting Hare Krishna. So these all contribute in different parts to committing that offense, which also then causes further impurities within the heart. Therefore, at least the basic qualification of a Vaishnava is that he should avoid committing offenses to the holy name. And often we sort of misunderstand offenses to the holy name as something that you do while you're chanting your rounds. But actually, offenses to the holy name means any devotional activity at any time of the day when one engages in these sins, oversights, transgressions, they constitute offense to the holy name. It doesn't refer to just what's going on in kirtan or just what's going on in japa. So for instance, first offense, that sadhu ninda nam nam paramam aparadam vitalute, to commit offense to Vaishnavas. So anytime you commit offense to Vaishnavas, it becomes a offense. The holy name, who's Krishna, takes offense, and the result of that is that he doesn't bestow his mercy. In other words, no matter how much we chant, the result doesn't come. And the result should be perceived in at least two ways. One is an increased taste for devotional activity, and the other one is decreased attachment to material things. And then inference is one of the 10 types of Vedic evidence. So if one's taste for Krishna consciousness isn't increasing, and rather one's attachment to material things remains the same, or even that increases, then one can infer that one has committed offenses to the holy name. For which, if one can identify the cause of that offense, then there are different types of recommended processes to become free. Like an offense to a Vaishnava means that you ask for forgiveness from that Vaishnava. But if you can't identify what the cause of the offense is, then the only solution is just to really chant. But this concept of being attentive, attentive means that one is able to focus the mind, fix the mind, and the mind becomes focusable to the degree that the heart becomes purified. Is that okay?
I'm seeing sometimes devotees being recommended to chant extra rounds, like maybe those who are having difficulties chanting 64 rounds. The devotees who I know for a fact, there's no way they're able to come away from 64 rounds because our minds are so disturbed. And yet, there can be a recommendation that they do that.
Yeah, a recommendation. Well, Prabhupada did a lot. If you look at folio, you'll see that to errant devotees, or when devotees fell down, or when devotees were causing trouble in the movement, he would just tell them, go to Mayapur, sit down and just chant Hare Krishna all day long. And then he would say, chant 64 rounds. And it's a fact, some devotees may not be able to do it. Although that's really a psychological block, obviously, because it's not that you can't do it. It's not exactly like telling someone to go climb Mount Everest. All you have to do is just sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna, or you can even walk around if you like. And it's a very nice experience that devotees can do. If they can even chant more, I'd even recommend chanting more. It really sort of changes your perspective on Krishna consciousness, changes your perspective on chanting rounds. For instance, if devotees sometimes can sort of gear themselves up to even chanting 3 times 64 rounds, which would take them at least the standard rate of japa, it takes 24 hours. But it will definitely give a certain type of experience, even if the experience is just struggling with the mind, that makes 16 rounds just seem very childish. And anyone who I've seen do that, they have that experience. Yeah, definitely. There are many effects. You know, one is just going beyond your normal average, getting out of your comfort zone. Okay, 16, how do you go? It's over. Same thing as what we're used to, right? We have a daily greeting at 7, and then Guru Puja at 7:05, along with Kirtan, it ends at 7:25, and Hari Bol Kirtan's over. And we get used to that. And if it goes 10 minutes longer, then we walk out, because it's what to speak of going hours longer. Anyway, this is one of these new catchwords, comfort zone. Because it's no longer sort of comfortable. It's not something that we're used to. So it becomes it's a paradigm shift. And when you chant more rounds, your paradigm, your frame of reference really changes. You start to, I have experience with being with one devotee who tried doing it, And then I had to tell her for it to stop because it was causing so much stress in her mind, this sort of effort to what chanting Hare Krishna was bringing out. I thought I was going to end up with a basket handle in my case in the middle of India somewhere, and I wasn't prepared for that, so I told her to stop chanting. I don't know, got up to 90 rounds or something like that. So I mean, then, but you get that experience also of how fallen we really are. It's an easy thing to say, but such a simple thing like repeating these three words, and you sit down and try and do it all day long, and you know, your mind can just go bang. But if, on the other hand, with many devotees, even though their mind is wanting to go bang, they bring it under control, they get another taste of what it's really like to gain a certain degree of mastery over their minds. And what happens at a certain point when the mind becomes subdued, when it gives in, when it goes bang, and then the only thing is there is just you and the holy name. In one sense, with kirtan, it's easier. There's other devotees, you move around, there's music. When you sit down and do japa, especially if you sit down, try and sit in one place, then it's really more of a challenge. There's none of these other distractions, albeit transcendental distractions, and then it's, in the beginning, it's you and your mind and senses. But when devotees persevere, you really get an idea of what effort or sadhana in Krishna consciousness is like.
One other thing that occurred to me there was that, there's two things. One thing is, a devotee, it depends on his motivation. If he's chanting more, then why is he chanting more? Because he is that's not an offensive motive.
That's not a?
It's an offenseless motive.
Yes.
Why does somebody want to chant more? Because they want to get closer to Krishna, because they want to be purified. The other thing that occurred to me was service begins with the tongue. So just even if somebody is inattentive, just by chanting with his tongue, the tone comes under control, and then eventually the mind comes under control, because we're giving our time to chanting Hare Krishna by vibrating the mind under the tone. So following that, the mind comes under control.
Yes, it's just that we have experienced that's an easy phrase to say, mind comes under control, but the reality is more like a Waterloo or a Kurukshetra war before it does come under control. And very often, sort of getting to the winning side, you end up losing a lot of battles in the process. But it's because mind under control for some time is one type of mind under control. But mind under control when it's permanently under control, which really means that one has achieved such a state of purification of the heart that the mind is no longer interested in going back. So there's these two types of mind control, the mind control of the Gyanis and the Yogis, but Aruya Krishna Parampada, but they fall down again. And then the real mind control of a Vaishnava is even as a practitioner, that he comes to a stage of purification where the taste in Krishna consciousness is much more attractive to the mind than the taste in material life. And that's where the battle takes place in this no man's land. When you're giving up material life and you're looking towards spiritual life, but because of the influence of impurities within the heart, the taste is very little. So you're fighting not on the basis of taste, you're fighting on the basis of duty, on the basis of vows that we've taken, sometimes we forget why we're fighting, and we're just being encouraged by our God brothers, God sisters to keep fighting, and that's a real sort of tough place to be in, that intermediate stage. And then when one actually, when the real taste starts to flow, not the taste that comes just from occasional contact, but the taste that's like ever increasing and not decreasing, then that really pushes aside all other things, and then the mind really does believe that it's better to be Krishna conscious than not to be Krishna conscious, because the senses are more gratified than they were in material life. And then real sense control comes on the spiritual platform. Then there's no question of control anymore. It's just no longer, material life is not even part of the formula. Anyone else? Any things in regards to chanting? Or unless you have some more to see. Certainly the more time, energy, effort we put into chanting Hare Krishna, the more we become perfect at it. And whereas the process itself is very easy, in other words, chanting Hare Krishna is very easy, the overall sadhana is not so easy. And so in Srila Prabhupada's words, you know, he said, I tricked you all. I told you this is a very easy process. So it's not so easy. It's really a... But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, by mercy of Vaishnavas, Katanchana smite yasmin sukaram dukaram bhave. And then he says, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, very difficult things can become very easy. And particularly that mercy comes when we preach, take responsibility for preaching. Chaitanya becomes very pleased with devotees. And he gives them that taste for chanting Hare Krishna. So everyone has a taste. What we need to do is really just feed or nurture that taste for chanting by any and all good means that it's possible. Because it's our real wealth, and it's our key to advancing in Krishna consciousness. And you may have similar experiences that when you first come to Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna, many devotees experience very wonderful things. I don't know, anyone have that experience? And then as you keep chanting Hare Krishna, the wonderful things sort of decrease. Of course, the reason for that is because we start committing offenses, and therefore our taste for chanting decreases. And in other words, we were offenseless before we joined. Your personal story, Pagosh?
I've been offenseless before.
I was thinking, that.
It's so long since I had those ecstatic feelings, you know, I can't really remember them. I was just going to ask that we see also, you know, we understand that there's 9 processes of achieving perfection, and of course, Shravana Kirtan comes first. But we do see that some devotees, they seem to have more of an attraction for other aspects of devotional life, working hard, for instance, you know, in performing devotional service. And it seems that they struggle more than others for developing a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. That's something that, of course, in one sense, it doesn't come natural to any of us. Ultimately it does, but in the interim stage it doesn't. But we can achieve perfection through these other nine processes, but if someone is attached or attracted more to, say, performing service, working hard, is that ultimately an indication that they either have no taste for the Holy Name, that they're committing offences to the Holy Name, and that even though there are nine processes, ultimately we all have to develop this real taste for the Holy Name?
That there are Nava Anga, or there are nine processes of devotional service, and chanting Hare Krishna is one. Now that's Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sandarbha. He explains, and he also quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I'm just trying to think, I forget, because these aren't, he doesn't write shlokas there, he just like writes prose. It's a whole different thing remembering it. But Jiva Goswami says that in Kali Yuga, the other eight only bear fruit in relationship to kirtan. In other words, it is the Yuga Dharma, so you can't become perfect by deity worship. The deity worship that we perform, when we do arti, what do? We chant Hare Krishna. Our deity worship is connected to chanting Hare Krishna. So many of the other types of activities that we're performing is to remember the Lord, to chant His name. We chant mudras, everything's connected with the holy name of the deities. And same thing, we go on Padasevana, we go on Parikrama. When we go on Parikrama, we're chanting Hare Krishna. So he says all of these other processes have to be connected with chanting Hare Krishna for them to actually bear the desired result. Otherwise, it may be possible, but it'd be exceedingly difficult and it will take a long time. So devotees may have a preference for some other type of service, and it's a fact. Some devotees may prefer deity worship, or some devotees may prefer praying to the Lord, and shravanam, smaranam. If some devotees like remembering, other devotees like to hear, but at least the minimum standard Prabhupada gave, chanting 16 rounds, you know, engaging in kirtan whenever possible, especially morning program. So those should be there, and then those empower these other activities to give quick fruit or quick result. The effect of the offenses lessens, or the heart becomes purified, yeah. And I mean, I should hope that I'm just giving sort of what seems to be a chronology in the early years of Krishna consciousness, but then as one also moves on in Krishna consciousness, then those experiences should come back, increase, and then should actually develop more and more. Krishna says, yes, devotees should be feeling bhava, they should be feeling ecstasy. Anytime Prabhupada's talking, he's always talking about how devotees are chanting in ecstasy and dancing in ecstasy and they're feeling ecstasy, and he's talking to a newspaper reporter and he says, why do you think they're chanting? They're chanting in love of God. Prabhupada wasn't just trying to exaggerate, he was also telling us this is what it's about. And particularly devotees who are no longer young devotees, who've gone through the ABCs of Krishna consciousness and have been in the movement for, I don't want to give some fixed period of time, but maybe 10, 15, 20 years, then they should sort of master the process of chanting the holy name, be very careful and attentive in the execution of devotional service, not be committing any more offenses. In other words, their chanting should be offenseless, their devotion should be offenseless, and the results of their past offenses should be waning. Well, the result of being which is they feel great exhilaration, at least when they chant Hare Krishna. And that exhilaration increases and increases as we advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. We can't just be preaching about something that we're not experiencing ourselves. As devotees must be actually experiencing. We're saying, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Well, at least I should be happy chanting Hare Krishna. If at other times I'm not, for different reasons, because we're living in the material world and it's not a comfortable place. Gaurang?
I was just remembering what you were saying yesterday about, you know, Lord Chaitanya's time service is structured kirtan, and, you know, kind of we have it now here that is absolutely fabulous, and the old man's the same, and it's hard not to have a taste for this type of kirtan. Personally, I'm talking about myself, that I love this kirtan and all the best kind of singers, and when everyone is just in the same kind of mood. But if I go to a kirtan where it's out of tune and I still sing Hare Krishna, but I can't appreciate it, and is that an offense?
It's not an offense. It's a type of devotional practice, and at least when we become Uttamadhikaris, then the sort of advanced Uttamadhikari, his taste in chanting is not dependent on the excellence of the music, tune, and other things. He relishes the holy name, particularly when it's chanted by someone who's chanting purely. Prema Vivarta, Jagannanda Pandit talks about himself. And it's very interesting because he's Satyabhama, he's the incarnation of Satyabhama. And he says that all the devotees make fun of him because he can't sing in tune, he can't hold a note, and when he dances, he's sort of like a duck. And I'm just, but that, it's like that. He points it out that, you know, they all think it's quite humorous. All the other devotees think it's humorous. But obviously, his chanting is perfect and pure. And therefore, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it doesn't really matter whether it's like this or like that. And to advanced devotees, also like that. But the lower stage Uttamadhikari, he still prefers to have these things because his taste is dependent upon these things all being in place. But then, in the spiritual world, it's very much like that, and everything is generally very, very paka. But then to show the example of something, for instance, Mother Jashoda is a very good cook, and if you try to, for instance, you try to offer Krishna a banana peel, you'd really be in deep trouble with her. On the other hand, just to show the example that Krishna's neither dependent upon good cooking and his main thing is love, so he'll accept the banana peel, or even if his friends offer him a flower, put it in his mouth, then he'll eat it because they offer it with love. But that's not the standard way. Those are just sort of exceptional things. And they're exceptionally expert. It comes with the unless I guess it's part of the nature of an individual, but it generally comes with the nature of the soul, is that all of these things come. I think that's why Srila Prabhupada didn't place so much emphasis on us for learning or getting too deep into the science of this Sangita Vidya, because it's so phenomenally complex and difficult, you could just get lost forever in learning all the different ragas and tunes, Lord, there's so many things there, and that they come, they'll come, and particularly one will get, when one comes to the perfectional platform, and we have a spiritual body, in which case memory is no longer a problem, then these are things that are actually taught by Krishna's associates. They actually teach us how to sing and play instruments and do these things. Well, let's chant a little, and then 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, right, man? 1 o'clock, we're on schedule. You know? 1 o'clock, we'll have prasadam again. And just a brief mention to visiting devotees here, visiting guests, and other devotees from Ireland, although I'm not really anyone to address anyone in Ireland, that, you know, I don't know, when did I come here first to Ireland? 87, 20 years. And one of the one of my concerns then, as well as even now, was the maintenance and support of our deities, Radha Govinda and Radha Madhava, particularly Radha Govinda, because they're so big, and size means that it requires a lot to maintain them. And I know that it's not an easy thing for that to be going on for the supporters here, or the devotees who are doing that seva, Manu Prabhu here, and Pragosh Prabhu, and of course the others like Mahamantra. So if devotees could help with financially, meaning giving regular monthly donations that would guarantee that Radha Govinda get a nice full garland all the time, that they get assured large plate of bhoga, and it's not like this every day. It would be great if it was. Some devotees in the UK are sponsoring regularly, and I know our head pujari at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Gadadhar Prabhu, is helping and organizing things. Then please see Mahamantra, easy to make a standing bank order, 10, 15, 20 pounds a month. After all, Krishna's here in person, and well, it's the primary duty of devotees in Ireland, but then of course it's everyone's duty to ensure that he and his associates are really worshipped at the highest platform, nicest standard, and they are being worshipped nicely, but all of that requires a lot of backup and funding. So just, that was just something to mention. Thank you.